Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas!
Ron, what is up? Welcome in another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello!
Are you as excited as I am about December football? Remember last time we got on here, being all pumped about this month of football?
Yeah, not so much at the end of this, huh?
It's been a couple of rough weeks, I tell you.
The roughest December as a Patriots fan in a long time.
Yeah, it's the first time they've lost two games in 2002, which coincidentally is also the last time they missed the playoffs. 2008. Thank you for catching me.
2008.
There you go. But the only time they missed the playoffs with both Brady playing.
Right. Exactly. And I'm sure I would assume that wasn't back-to-back games.
I don't remember. Don't know. Yeah. They lost in the last game of the season. I remember that. The Jets made the playoffs. Frickin' Chad Penny.
Wow.
Loser.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. So we're on a... It's been a couple of tough weeks, as you just said.
I know. It's hard to get the words out sometimes.
I know, right? So basically, we went to Miami, and then we went to Pittsburgh. And as I was kind of thinking about the whole thing, that if we won both of those, we were in great shape. Looked like everything would be coming together. If we went 1-1, that would be still pretty good. All right, because both tough places to play, and you need, you know, show that you can win once on the road. If we went 0-2, I was going to say that it's going to be tough. It's not going to be a good sign for things to come in this this postseason for the Patriots. We're at the third seed right now.
Currently.
Currently, with the Chiefs in front of us, doesn't look like we're going to catch them at one. The Texans are going to Seattle this week, which they could definitely drop. So,
are they really?
Is it Seattle or Baltimore?
I thought they were hosting the Eagles.
Oh, no, you're right. They're hosting the Eagles.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are going to Seattle.
Chiefs are hosting the Eagles,
it's a tough game. You know, they could drop it. We still have a chance at the first round bye. It's certainly far from guaranteed. And, you know, we got some easier, I want to say in quotation marks, easier games coming up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that Pittsburgh game looked like we should have won that game. They didn't look good in my mind. Pittsburgh.
No. They didn't look good. And we actually had a pretty damn good game plan, particularly defensively. Where I love those random games. It's not really random. It's always against a superior passing offense. But when Belichick just gives them the center of the field and is like, just hand it off. Go for it.
Right.
Don't you want 6 yards a carry? The game that always comes to mind is the 2013 game. It was a night game against the Broncos. Peyton Manning throws for 55 touchdowns that year, and he threw for exactly zero against the Patriots. And C.J. Anderson went for like 200 yards or something. We had only two defensive tackles, one of them being Joe Villano, played like 70 snaps. but the Pats ended up pulling it out because they didn't let Peyton Manning beat them, and that was the thing that they wanted to do again. Don't let Juju Smith-Schuster go off. Don't let Antonio Brown or Ben Roethlisberger pass all over you. And I love that defensive game plan. It's just on the other side of the ball. You need the offense to do more than score one touchdown on a blown coverage. Statistically, the worst blown coverage in two seasons.
Yeah.
Did you hear that stat? Chris Hogan
was like so far from any other defender.
Yeah, it's the most open anyone's been in 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's the only time they scored. 3 red zone possessions, 0 touchdowns.
And only 3 points.
Only 3.
Yeah, just real bad all, you know, offensively. We're hearing reports coming out today that Brady's got a knee issue, possibly a bum MCL, sprained MCL, torn, partially torn. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know if that's true, but it would make some kind of sense. Just, I mean, some of the passes he looks great, and then other ones it's like, eh, what the hell is going on there? And put that on with some drops.
Yeah, there
the
were
offensive
drops.
Play calling. I mean, Josh Gordon dropped the ball and then made one catch for 20 yards and one drop, and they didn't go to him again. And there were clear plays where he's 1-on-1 with no safety over the top against a shitty ass number 2 or 3 cornerback.
Right.
Like, bad. Mm-hmm. You know, Julian Edelman had a couple big drops. He also went 7 receptions for 90 yards. I mean, I hear a lot of people just shitting on him.
Oh, come on.
I mean, 7 receptions for 90 yards is as decent of a game as Jules usually has. I mean,
yeah.
That's standard Jules numbers.
I know. When I was watching the game, and he dropped a pass, and the guy goes, wow, that's a really rare occurrence. I think it was Tony Romo. It's like, nah, it's not that rare.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody ever accused him of having DeAndre Hopkins' hands. He doesn't. It's okay. Yeah. Doesn't mean he's terrible. But he also had a 35-yard catch in the 2-minute drive at the very end of the game.
Right.
To get them deep into Steelers territory. Those are the plays you need him to. If he drops a slant in the first quarter, so be it.
Yep.
The difference but for this game between the previous matchups we've seen them play in Pittsburgh, particularly for some reason in Pittsburgh, is Rob Gronkowski wasn't a factor.
At all.
He's always a factor. He always goes nuts. Like in that game last year, we were getting tooled on by the Steelers. And then for some reason, they just flipped a switch in the third and fourth quarter and were like, we're just throwing a Gronk no matter what happens. And he went for like $150 in those two quarters.
Mm-hmm. I know. And he really didn't show up at much at all. And what he was saying, he was basically double covered the whole time. They did have a safety over the top for a lot over the top of him from what I could see a lot of the time. Which says to you, well, there's guys open elsewhere.
Or at least one-on-ones elsewhere.
One-on-ones elsewhere. I mean, you have Josh Gordon, who we know can beat one-on-one coverage. James White, Rex Burkhead. I mean, Chris Hogan, outside of that one play, he had one more reception for 5 yards. He has been a huge disappointment on this season.
Yeah, for sure.
He cost himself a lot of money. It's a tough place. It's a weird place for us to be.
I know.
On the losing end of these.
We didn't even mention, what was it, 14 penalties?
14 penalties.
It's insane.
A couple of them were ridiculously called penalties. Yeah, but the holding penalty on Malcolm Brown on the run play.
Yeah.
That's got to be the dumbest penalty I've ever seen. It's like, he's preventing him from getting the second level? What?
That's such a rare call. But it's only 5 yards.
It's only 5 yards. There's a cut, one PI they called, which is a little ridiculous. Then the holding and the pass, the friggin' false starts are just ridiculous.
Yeah, relentless false starts, holding calls on our offensive line. O-line had their worst game in a while. They were getting banged around by Cam Hayward and company.
Which I can't believe. I mean, TJ Watt's good, but give me a break.
Right.
Him and Cameron Hayward aren't that friggin' good. We usually own this defensive line. We've played much better against much better against much better talent, I feel like. I mean, it's not bad. Don't get me wrong. It's not a bad defensive front. It's not good. It's not 10 points good. We're going to shut the Patriots. If you told me last week the Steelers are going to score only 17 points against you guys, I'd say, holy shit, we're going to kick the shit out of them.
Yeah, definitely.
There's no way this hot defense is going to stop.
Yeah, that's totally the case. And then you look back at the week before, and they just let the Dolphins hang around. Just let them hang around.
Well,
and it was like the total reversal, where in this game, defense played well, offense played shitty. The Dolphins game, it was the reverse. Offense was lights out, practically.
Right.
Defense kept giving up yards and random first downs, and then
just plays they should be making and they're not making. I mentioned this to you briefly the other day, and basically what it seems like this year's Patriots team, I hear a lot of people on, you know, talk radio and other media outlets that, it's a lack of talent. It's a lack of talent, this, that, and the other thing. But when you look at these guys, you know, they can put together good games. It's just they can't put together games altogether. Like in Miami, we scored 28 points and very quickly. But our defense was a sieve the whole time. We score, and so normally, as everyone knows, in past years, the Patriots would score. The defense would have get a stop in a key place, and the offense would score again. And all of a sudden, we'd be up big. And now everyone's trying to claw back. And vice versa, if we needed to, you know, we were down, whatever happened, things weren't going right, they'd put together a string of series where the offense scores and the defense stops them. The offense scores, and then we'd come back. And that's happened multiple times. This year, we haven't seen that. We haven't seen a game where the offense is playing well and the defense is playing well for most of the game or the entirety of the game. We have not seen that at all, which is scary, but it also gives you a little hope that, hey, maybe they can figure it out for the fucking playoffs. Because the Ravens did it in, what was it, 2009 or 2011, whenever they did it?
2012. Yeah. Yeah, it happens. Teams put it together. The Giants that beat the Pats in 07, they were a wild card team. The Packers,
they were 9-7.
Packers in 2010, wild card team. Ravens essentially backed into the playoffs. We've seen it happen plenty of times.
Right. I mean, we've seen these teams get really hot at the right times, and never mind the wrong times for other teams. And I don't feel like it's a huge lack of talent. I mean, the only place I think we've discussed that we're missing is middle linebacker. and they don't even seem to give a shit.
They don't care. Yeah, I'm loving what they're doing up front defensively. That amorphous front where they're just running people all over the place. You don't know who's dropping. You don't know who's coming.
I love
That's the whole point of having versatile players.
Mm-hmm.
Is to confuse the other team because you can use them interchangeably. And right. they're finally coming around and doing that. And I love that Flores is doing that. I have this fantasy outcome for the AFC playoffs, or like the playoff picture. We're right. The Chiefs and Chargers are tied right now at one. I have this total fantasy that the Chargers overtake the Chiefs and they drop all the way down to the 5 seed after everyone has been on their knees for them all season long.
Yeah.
It would be the best. I mean, last year was great. They start 6-0. They beat the fuck out of the Patriots and then they fall all the way down. This year would be way better if they start, what were they, 10-1? Something like that. And then they 9-1. They lose to the Rams. They lose again to the Chargers. They've only lost to great teams when you think about it. But they're going into Seattle.
On the flip side of it,
and Seattle needs this win. Seattle needs it big time after they laid an egg in San Fran.
Yep, it's a big game too. And if it's they've only lost against great teams, but those have also been their biggest games because obviously the best teams, and they haven't risen to the occasion.
Yeah.
Once, not once. The other games, maybe the Chargers early in the season, but I don't know if that was a big game at the time.
It wasn't viewed the same way that those other games were.
Well, I will say the Chargers in that game, that was great. A joke. That was a joke. They should have won that game.
Why not?
Oh, my God. Did you see the end of that game?
Yes, I saw the end of it, but I also saw right before the end of it when the Chiefs were gifted a touchdown. Gifted by the referees.
They were down.
They don't call intentional grounding.
With 7 minutes left.
Yeah, they shouldn't have been down 14. I'm telling you that they were gifted. The Chiefs were gifted a touchdown to be in that position. Patrick Mahomes had an intentional grounding inside his own 20-yard line that instead was it would have negated the personal foul roughing the passer, which, oh no, they called face mask. He just glided over his face mask, didn't grab anything, and they called that, but didn't call intentional grounding, which, I don't know, somehow they missed that, and then they called
two... Well, they did the same thing against the Chargers.
Two phantom holding calls, defensive holding calls, on third and long that were incomplete passes that they got first downs on. Continued that drive. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs about how is this game not fixed? This is so indicative of a fixed game. And then the Chargers got a couple calls, and they won.
Well, yeah, the Chargers got a few calls that were ridiculous. But then my favorite is they got a few calls that are insane. Score. Somehow get the ball back real quick, and then there's a completely blatant helmet-to-helmet on a quarterback call on Phillip Rivers that they just didn't call.
Yeah.
It's like gave them three calls in a row that were questionable to not a call at all, and then the only one that is, oh, that's 100% a fucking penalty, they were like, nope, 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 and Phillip Rivers almost lost the game because he was screaming at them for so long.
And for some reason, Anthony Lynn, their head coach, didn't call a timeout. They waited 10 seconds. It went from 23 seconds all the way down to 13 before he calls a timeout.
Yeah,
call the fucking timeout. You're the head coach.
I know. I was like, what are you doing? But, yeah, so back to the Patriots here.
Yeah, I got sidetracked. But
no, it's all right. I mean, that's the playoff picture.
I just wanted to talk about my playoff picture, yeah. So if the Chargers can win out and the Chiefs lose in Seattle, then it would be Chargers at one. I think, judging by the way the Eagles beat the shit out of the Rams on Sunday Night Football last week, and whatever Nick Foles magic they have a significant chance to go into Houston, take down the Texans.
Oh, absolutely. I can't say for sure that the Texans are going to lose, but this is the type of game that the Texans usually lose.
Yeah, exactly. So if the Texans lose to the Eagles, which is very reasonable, and the Chiefs lose to the Seahawks, also reasonable, Chargers and Patriots win out. Chargers have a tougher schedule. They play the Ravens and Broncos. Pats have the Jets and the Bills in that reverse order. You could be looking at a Chargers at one, Patriots at two, Texans three, Steelers four. Be fine.
Yeah.
We would be in great shape. We would never have to go into Arrowhead. We wouldn't have to go to Houston. We wouldn't have to play on Wild Card Weekend, which would be the first time doing that since 2009. And you and I both remember how that Wild Card game turned out.
Terrible.
It was freezing cold, and I hated my life sitting there in the stands next to you watching Ray Rice run all over us.
I know. I wouldn't hold your breath for that, but that it's definitely very realistic.
It's realistic.
It's all possible. I mean, it's nice that the season set us up for a Jets-Bills two games in a row, which do mean a lot.
And both at home.
Like, both at home. I mean, you couldn't ask for an easier, okay, you need to win out now situation. So
yeah,
we should have won this last. We should have won one of the two last games.
But we should have won one of the two. But it being said, if you lose both of them and you could still possibly get a bye, I think the bye is so unbelievably important because if you don't get a bye, you're guaranteed an away game at some point on if you're going to go to the Super Bowl. Because going into the divisional round, it's already set who the home teams are. But if you get that bye, not only do you get that week of rest and that extra preparation, you get a guaranteed home game right there. And then in the conference championship game, you very well may be playing at home again. God damn it, that was hard to say.
Yeah, depending on what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And look, the Pats are 3-5 away from Foxborough.
That scares me. I mean, yeah, it's terrible. I mean,
so if you could find out whatever
teams
way
that go all the way are good, good road game teams. Generally.
What? Not
always.
You come up with that? Where did you come up with that?
The last like six NFL, those last six Super Bowl winners were number one seeds.
Then what does that mean that they were good on the road? They played at home.
They were great on the road all season. They were top seeds
because they can't lose. Okay,
they can't lose.
Yeah, but they didn't play on the
road. Teams have won the Super Bowl. How about that? I'll reverse it on you.
Well, how would you define a bad road team?
I don't know. Less 4-4 or less 3-5.
Yeah, a lot of those teams don't make the playoffs because a lot of teams don't go 3-5 on the road and 8-0 at home, which is something the Patriots are going to have to do if they want a chance at winning the
Super Bowl. Exactly. Well, there you go. You just proved my point.
I don't think I did.
Yeah, if you're bad on the road, you usually don't go far.
Usually don't make the playoffs. It's not about winning in the playoffs because you're a good road team. It's you just don't make playoffs
sure.
If you suck.
Fair enough. You don't make. Yeah, you don't make the playoffs. You're not a good team. You're usually a bad team. That's why this is a weird situation.
Yeah, but they got the Bills coming to town this week, and then the Jets coming to town next week. Both have rookie quarterbacks. Somehow Josh Allen is like Michael Vick 2.0.
Saw that coming.
The guy's like 6'6". He's known for having a strong arm, and turns out he just. He's like a one read and run the ball guy. So I thought that was Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
This guy was supposed to be a pocket passer. He's setting all kinds of records.
The Bills are probably surprised too. One thing I wanted to bring up was, so the way Gronk played and has been playing, clearly he's not, I mean, I think we've mentioned this before, he's not 100% or he's not himself.
He's either hurt or he needs to retire. Because if he's not hurt and he's playing like this, then he's washed up. It's over.
Right. Now, one of the things I wanted to bring up about that is Gronk's been so dominant in the past, and now he's not as dominant, but they're still calling him like he's that dominant player. Like all the times where people are just tackling him and all over him, all kinds of contact before the ball is thrown. You know, before it was because if they didn't do that, he was going to kill them. They were done. Mm-hmm. Now it's like they're doing that and he can't do anything and it just looks bad, but they're still not, I mean, that's still technically a call. You know what I mean? Do you see what I'm getting at here?
You're talking about the referees, right?
The referees, basically, yeah. So, yeah, when I say a call, I'm talking about how it's officiated looking at him. Basically, he's being officiated like he's the top player and unstoppable still when he's not, and there's still people are still just mauling him in the open field, and he's not getting any fucking calls.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there because he's clearly,
I just don't think it's fair.
Well, it's
I mean,
never
look at the guy.
Fair.
It's like he's being, he's right. It's never been fair, but at least he warranted it because he was so dominant. You're like, okay, well, they're clearly not calling it because nobody can cover him. Now he can be covered normally, and they're still like, oh, no, just tackle him in the open field. It's okay. Just jump on his back. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, but he's not that type of player anymore, at least not this year.
I get what you mean, yeah. That when he's going out for roots, there's more contact generated than against just about any other offensive receiver, and then they just don't give him calls ever. What the ball in the air before the ball is there, people Nothing. Grabbing him, hitting him. Yeah, I get you. I guess
I didn't explain that the best, but it's just ridiculous.
It is, but it always has been, and I don't know if they should change because he's not good as good. You know,
yeah.
Because then you would have to make the argument that if he got better, that they should call less against him, right?
I guess.
So if you get worse, then they should call more. And if you get better, it's the officiating this year has been really, really bonkers. It's really gotten under my skin.
Yeah,
and
you're not the only one.
I'm not the only one. I know that. They just I heard Troy Aikman say it on Thursday Night Football. He goes, the league came into the season wanting more points, and they got it. And I'm like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Why can't you? It really frustrates me when you can compare like Babe Ruth to Barry Bonds, just baseball players, because they don't change the rules of the game every 6 minutes.
Yeah.
But at this point, you see stats every Sunday that are like Pat Mahomes and Drew Brees and Jared Goff and Dan Marino and Peyton Manning are all on some graphic. And every time, all I'm thinking, God damn it, Dan Marino must have been incredible.
Yeah, you're right.
How was he doing this in the 80s? What these people, they needed like 16 different rule changes in order to facilitate what's happening. And they're not even unique. It's like four people are doing it in a season now. And Dan Marino right. did this 25 years ago.
By himself.
By himself, 30 years ago. When, what was it, 2011, the time that Brady passed for over 5,000 yards? Same year Drew Brees went for over 5,000. Matt Stafford, who's not even going to be a Hall of Famer, went for over 5,000. And they're the only one, they were the only ones at the time to do it, other than Dan Marino, who did in 1984 at 23 years old.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but the
it's crazy.
The way that they are making it so much easier to put up gaudy numbers. It's like, I don't even know if I'm watching the same sport anymore. And that's what, I was watching the Army-Navy game like 2 weeks ago, a week ago.
Yeah.
And they both run single wing offense. It's all triple option. It was like a 12-9 game. I loved it. I loved it. It was like going in a time machine.
I know, man. Well, it's to me, it's the consistency. I feel like you watch two different officiating crews in the NFL, and you're going to get a whole whirlwind of different calls and what's being called and what's not. Like, the one thing I'll give them credit for is the catch this year. They've kind of eliminated that. Like, oh, is this a catch? Is that not a catch? They kind of made it seem like, okay, if it looks like a catch, if it passes the eye test, it's a catch. I don't know what the actual rule is.
Which is all anybody ever asked.
That's all anybody ever asked. But now it's like, okay, you might get one crew that calls 10 pass interference calls and one that doesn't call any.
That and like, you could call defensive holding on any single play.
Any single play.
They never call defensive illegal contact where you're not supposed to hit them 5 yards down the field. Everybody hits people beyond 5 yards down the field.
Right.
Everyone did. Remember when that was the biggest thing in the league? It was like, oh my God, another illegal contact. Well,
right.
they just flipped it for holding now. They figured out that it's easier to control coverage by not allowing them to grab or look like they're grabbing. And they I hate that they don't take into account whether it, and this might be going back against my previous, they don't take into account whether it's impeding the, if two guys are standing right. still and one of them grabs the other one's jersey and pulls it a little bit away from his body, that's not impeding his ability to get open. He's standing still.
Yeah.
But they'll call that because they're like, oh, he pulled the jersey. That's it. The Pavlovian response to throw the flag.
Right. I mean, I feel like that was like we were penalized 14 times this game, but yet we're the least penalized team in the league. And, you know, just watching in real time, I wasn't going, oh my God, they're doing, look how like ridiculous, what, besides the offsides.
And the false starts.
I'm like, and the false starts, it's like, I didn't notice anything aggressively different. Like the holding penalties they were calling, I was like.
Critical like, situations too.
How are you calling that? On a big third down or like after a huge game, like how are you calling? You guys haven't called this shit all year against the Patriots. Either call it all the fucking time or don't call it.
Right.
And it's not even just the Patriots, it's every team. It's like you get one, it's like the crews are just all over the place. It's kind of, you know.
Yeah, total lack of consistency.
It's definitely turned some people off, and I don't think it's real. You know, it's like, you know, in the big games, I get it, they don't call as much, and that's fine. Well, Pittsburgh was a huge game, and they were calling everything.
They called everything. Yeah, exactly.
Like, the littlest little things, too. It's like, is that really even holding? Like, what? Oh, okay. Like, I guess he held there. And then the next play, you see a complete holding call on the Pittsburgh's right. offensive lineman. You go, that's what you just called against the Patriots. No flag.
Yeah.
And the announcer's like, oh, he let it, you know, he gave up. Or, you know, I think Romo said, oh, well, it looks like he gave up, you know, he opened his hand at the right time. It's like, oh, when the running back was 10 yards downfield, oh, then he stopped holding?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's real beneficial. So yeah, it's just perfect. A complete lack of consistency, even in just that game. It's like, oh, so now if you're home, you're getting all the calls. And that even seems like the Patriots, too. When the Patriots are home, they get all the calls to go their way. And when you're in Pittsburgh, all the calls go their way. It's like, that's not fair.
That's the home field advantage right there. That's why they're 3-5 on the road.
Yeah, right.
That could be it. I know.
But anyways, you never I'm not see blaming it. These two games on officiating, but it's definitely been
suspect.
Not a good year for them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been frustrating to watch. This Sunday, you know, they got the Bills coming to town, and they didn't beat them that handily last time.
No.
In Buffalo.
That was in Buffalo.
It was a Monday night game, and, you know, Sean McDermott's a good defensive coach. He's going to make things difficult. And with the offense not firing, I wouldn't expect explosion. But then again, it could happen. You brought this up at the beginning. It's like they have shown very solid play offensively and defensively. They just haven't put it together. But if they can put it together, they all of a sudden they're the scariest team in the AFC.
Right.
And
that's all it takes.
You just never know when it's going to get there or if it's going to get there. And if there's any coach that's going to figure it out, it's going to be Belichick. And if there's any opponent to figure it out against, it's the fucking Bills.
Yeah.
So exactly. I would love for that to work out this week and next week. Get a couple tune-up games, pretend like it's the beginning of a college football season, whack out McNeese State, and then march into the playoffs, get your bye, and then take on whoever. I mean, who would it be at that point? Like the 4 seed, 5 seed, bring them into Foxborough, kick the living shit out of them.
Yep.
And then hopefully somebody beats the Chiefs or Chargers, the 1 seed, and then take them on. And all of a sudden, you're back in the Super Bowl. How fucking badass would that be?
That'd be pretty good.
That'd be pretty good. That would be 3 years in a row? Shit.
That's if we get there. I mean, we know what the Bills are. Josh Allen's completing 52% of his passes. He's got 75 rushes for 506 yards, though.
Animal.
They cut Kelvin Benjamin, their biggest receiver. I mean, they've got a couple guys that are doing some things, this guy Jones and Foster. But there's really, if the Patriots can play, I mean, they just limited 17 points to Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. They shouldn't let up any more than that to this friggin' team.
No way. And they didn't earlier in the season. What did they put up, like 9 points?
Yeah.
Earlier in the year against the Patriots when Buffalo came to town, they put up six points.
Well, it was with another quarterback, but yeah.
Yeah, that was with Derek Anderson, right?
It's probably better than Josh Allen.
I don't know. Josh Allen's been moving the ball. He's got a little magic with those legs. I don't know. There's something about it.
Right. But a big key is Brady's health. If Brady's dealing with the knee issue, which it could look, it does look like. I mean, that interception last week was not like him, and a couple of those plays were not like him. When he bails out of the throws and he doesn't stand in there, I think it's because of pain, because he usually does it, and you could see him do it in one half, and he doesn't do it in the second half, and you're like, what changed?
Yeah.
And Scott Zolak actually had a good point. I was listening to him recently, basically, about this topic. He said the painkiller shot, the cortisone or whatever,
wears off.
They're only going to give it to you for one half, so you choose what half it is. You get it for the first half or the second half, but you don't get both. So choose when you want to be in fucking pain, because that's when you'll be in pain.
Yeah.
Huh. So
that's something to look at.
You know, Brady still, people are saying Brady's falling off, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's 66% completion percentage. He's got 3,900 yards, 24 TDs, and 9 interceptions. And this is his worst year in years.
Right? Yeah.
In years.
Absolutely is. Probably his worst since 2013.
And, I mean, that's a good seat for a lot of moving parts on offense where you don't know who you have and people are injured and coming in and out. That's a great season.
Yeah, if he continues on this pace, it's 4,500 yards for, like, almost 30 TDs.
Yeah.
Pretty
10 interceptions.
Pretty damn good. Yeah.
So
if he might be hurt. He doesn't look, first of all, the last couple of weeks, going back to the Dolphins, didn't look comfortable in the pocket.
Yeah.
In
the first half, he dominated. The second half, he didn't look too good.
Dude, switch your cortisone shots to the second half, would you?
I know, right? So right there, sounds like something's up.
Could be.
They're saying it's an MCL. We'll see.
I don't remember him having a weird knee hit at any point.
Well, you never know. In Miami last week, yeah, he like went down to the ground and like grabbed his knee. And he goes, people ask me, he goes, oh, I'm just adjusting my brace. But if you watch the clip, it looked like something had been fucking with him.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, it just looked like this was something that was a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair enough. Yeah, got to get him healthy. Another reason to get a bye. another reason to run the football all over the Bills. The Bills' defense is good. That's the problem. They actually have a real good defense. It's not just Sean McDermott. Lorenzo Alexander is Benjamin Button out. I don't understand that. How do you go from a special teamer for 10 years to being a Pro Bowl caliber game-wrecking outside linebacker at 33 years old? Steroids. That's the logical answer, right?
I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. How do you get better in your 30s?
Mid-30s. As an outside linebacker.
Your testosterone jumps off a cliff once you hit your 30s.
Maybe he's got that turd.
Is a steady decline from there. So if you're getting stronger and better, you're doing something.
He's clearly a lot better now than he was at 30.
I mean, unless his technique is just incredible.
No, he's a mammoth out there.
Yeah, I think he's a little something extra.
I think his pee might be a little cloudy. But Lorenzo Alexander, they got the usual guys, Kyle Williams, who's just he's a complimentary player at this stage in his career. But Jerry Hughes is still impactful. Tremaine Edmonds is like the biggest freak inside linebacker I've ever seen. And that includes Urlacher, it includes Luke Kuechly.
Really?
Tremaine Edmonds is 6'5", 250, runs a 4.4.
Wow. When they get him?
And he's a first-round pick this year. He's 20 years old.
Right, 20.
He was 19 when he was drafted. No, he was 19 when he was playing his last season of college football. He's 20. He's a freak.
That's impressive. Yeah. That is impressive.
Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer. They got good players. And it's not going to be an easy day for the offense. But they need to figure something out. And if you need to lean on Josh Gordon or Cordarrelle Patterson, James White, I don't care. Get out to a good lead. Do it.
You have to do it.
Because we're going to have to play zone defensively, and I'm not saying Josh Allen's going to carve us up, but you got to play zone because he's going to run the ball like 15 times. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Play man, turn your back, and let him just trample all over the defense?
Yeah, so they got to go up big and they go early. Yeah. Or I mean, their confidence can't afford to take a hit like this.
Some of the other games we're looking forward to this weekend. Do you like the Saturday football? Do you like the addition of it? You don't like it? I like it.
I don't know what the hell's going on when they do it.
What do you mean? It's like college football is between their bowls, the regular season and the bowl time?
Yeah.
Even though the bowls have begun. But
I guess 4:30 and 8:00. I mean, the Chargers-Ravens game.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now that's on Saturday night.
Yeah, I guess so, but I don't pay as much attention to it. I'm just used to football Sunday. That's what you got.
Yeah, but except for Monday and Thursday.
But no one cares about Thursday and Monday. Yeah.
No Thursday this week. Something there. Yeah, the NFC is getting very intriguing for me, especially with the revamped Eagles. When you add Nick Foles to that bunch.
Revamped Eagles with Nick Foles.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm serious. Yeah.
I know. It's a sad sentence. You remember how bad he was at the beginning of the year? Everyone was like,
"Oh my god, yeah."
Everyone was like, "Oh my god, he's gonna be so sick! Like Eagles are gonna be awesome because Nick Foles gonna be playing." They benched him.
Yeah, he was terrible.
He sucked.
He was.
Maybe he's just like Brocktober, full Vember,
right?
Full Vember,
full December,
full Ember or whatever the fuck you say. But yeah,
25 days of Nick Foles.
25 days, literally.
They're now 7-7. They sit one game back from the Cowboys at 8-6 in that division. They're right in the thick of it for wild cards. I think they're half a game back of the Vikings. Mm-hmm. The Vikings won in, so they have that tiebreak. Not that they can tie, actually, because they have a tie. But it's just getting weird over there. It's just getting really weird. And when you got the Rams have lost two games in a row. They're now only one game up on the Bears. And the Bears own the tiebreaker over them. So if the Rams slip up at all, they could be staring down a 3 seed. I don't think they will. They have like the Niners, and the Cardinals.
Yeah, and then the Bears have the Niners this week.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, there's some good games this week. You got, as we just said, the Ravens Chargers Saturday night. That's a great game. The Redskins are just sitting right behind. Yeah, right behind the boys too.
I know.
They just don't have a quarterback. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they got Josh Johnson.
But the Titans.
The Titans are they tied for the wild card spot with the Ravens?
I think they must be.
They have the same record. I think the Ravens are up in the standings right now.
Yeah, so that's a pretty big game. Texans, as we said, it looks like Texans are going to Philly.
What? They are. Oh my goodness, that changes it completely.
That's a huge game. Texans are going to blow it.
Oh, I hope they do.
I think they're going to blow it. And then you've got that game. You got the Steelers Saints, which is ridiculous. Whoa. I would love Pittsburgh. I know I'm supposed to be rooting against Pittsburgh, but I would just love for them to win. Just to be like, oh, the Patriots lost. Doesn't look so bad.
You know? Possible. They in New Orleans. That's going to be a tough matchup for them. But I think I want them to lose. I don't want to see them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess. And then the Chiefs go to Seattle.
That's the one.
8:20 at night, which I'm going to tell you, man, Chiefs have been falling short in prime time.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a prime time game. It's for the number one seed. I think they're going to blow it.
That's the shit,
I really think they're going to blow it. The Seahawks have a lot to play for right now.
Seahawks have everything to play for right now. They're trying to hang on to that wild card spot for dear life. The oh my God, Patrick Mahomes has 45 TDs. Wow.
That's a joke. That's a joke.
He's putting up video game numbers. Yeah, this is going to be such a fun weekend of football. The Vikings playing the Lions. Vikings, they should get in. Vikings are a scary team if they get in.
Vikings suck.
No, they don't. They definitely don't.
Kirk Cousins is a joke. He's terrible. Come on.
He is not. He is
so bad.
John DeFilippo had that offense completely wrapped up in itself. They were, I don't know what was going on there.
I haven't been more unimpressed by a $30 million player in my life. $20 million, sure. Sam Bradford always takes that cake, but $30 million, it's a new low.
He's also not making 30, he's making 28, but you know.
Whatever, you know what I mean.
I know what you
mean. No, actually, right now, so the Vikings are projected 6th seed.
Yeah.
With Seattle.
Seattle at 5.
The 5th seed. You've got the Eagles, Skins in the hunt. They say the Panthers, they're not in the hunt.
They're not. They're out.
It's funny, the AFC picture is a lot more competitive. You got the Chargers and Chiefs battling for the first seed, depending on what happens with them. As you said, Texans, Patriots. Then you got the Steelers and Ravens.
Pretty
close. Right now, yep. And then, so the Chargers have basically sealed the deal. Between the Chargers and Chiefs, one of them's getting the 5th seed, so that's happening. Then the last one is, did the Ravens really take? No. Steelers are 4th seed, Ravens are 6th seed.
And the Titans are right behind them.
Colts and Titans in the hunt.
Yeah.
Colts are 8-6.
I know. I would love the Ravens to overtake the Steelers for the division title, and then the Colts sneak in. That would be great. Fuck the Titans.
Yeah, fuck the Titans.
They're going to dance all over the Patriots. I hope they don't make.
So funny that the Jags aren't even sniffing the playoffs.
Does Doug Marrone keep his job? What do you think?
No.
I don't think so either.
Can him. You have to can that guy.
Can him. After that, move the team, do everything.
You go from the best defense in the league to just terrible.
Yeah, with almost no personnel change.
Nope, literally none.
Well, they traded Dante Fowler, but they were already terrible.
Oh, yeah, that was already once it was done. Yeah. They only added a defensive tackle, didn't they? Like Haloti or something? They added someone decent.
No. They didn't add. Haloti now is on the Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles. That's who ran. No, yeah, that's
right. I don't think they.
So anyways.
Yeah. It's.
What are you thinking?
Two weeks ago, we talked about being excited for December football, and oddly enough, after two Patriots losses, I'm still really excited for December football.
What's your score for the game?
I'm going to go kind of low. And I'm thinking 20-9.
I was thinking kind of low, too. I'm going to go 24-7.
You think they're going to get a touchdown? How about that?
Yeah, I think they get one.
You hear that, Josh Allen? He's got faith in you.
One touchdown worth
of faith. Okay. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back later on to talk some more Patriots football with you. Enjoy your viewing.
Adios. See you.